the second story that I think is really important, the second most extraordinary story I've ever heard, came from a woman whose son had been killed in a car accident. And she had asked me, she said, please tell people that he was drunk and he was driving. Because she said if he hadn't been drinking, he would have been alive. But anyway, her son was driving a vehicle in Salt Lake City, Utah, 10, 12 years ago now. And he was driving on a wet bridge in a sleet storm, and he went, lost control, car overturned, he was not buckled up, and he suffered very severe head injuries. He was brought into the local hospital where he was very shortly pronounced brain dead. On his driver's license, he had just 2 weeks earlier changed it to become an organ donor. And so his mother was contacted here in the Twin Cities, and the doc said, told her what had happened, told her that on Danny's card there was that he'd wanted to be an organ donor, and she said, I'll honor that. Now, the story really begins with the man who is the recipient of his pancreas and kidney. This man was a local man in the Salt Lake City area who had insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. And this man was a conscientious man who had tried everything he possibly could to keep his diabetes in check. But
weight loss, everything.
Weight loss.
Nothing worked.
Took his insulin. He was doing well. And here he had a new 2-year-old baby. He was happily married. He had a good job, responsible human being. And his doctor, about 2 or 3 years earlier, had said, Mike, I really think you should consider a pancreas transplant. And, back in the early 90s, this was still somewhat new and experimental. This man was willing to try anything to stay healthy, to be with his family. When this man heard that he was contacted, there was a donor, there was a match, he was excited. He was brought into the hospital. His wife and her sister were there, and they wished him well and kissed him, and he was taken off to the operating room. The story begins because his wife, when she saw him in the post-anesthesia recovery room, his first words to her wasn't, I love you, dear, good to see you. His first words to her, Kim, were these. He said, Kim, my donor's name is Danny. Several days later, when he came out and was out of the recovery room, he told her this incredible story. He said that he was put to sleep, and shortly afterwards he found himself in a strange place. He said he was floating up above his body, and he could observe all of the events in the operating room. And he said, I've got to tell you something. He said, I could hear the conversations, I could see what happened. And he said, I watched the organs being brought into the operating room after mine had been removed. He said they were in a blue container, they were packed in ice. He described the man who brought it in. And he said, in that moment, he experienced such an extraordinary wave of, he said, love and gratitude. He said, it was so intimate, so profound, that in that moment, he said, I want to see my donor. And he said, I can't explain this to you except by saying, in that instant, I just went through a wall, just like that. And he said, and I saw him. He was laying there. He said he was a really good-looking man with long, sandy hair. He was thin, and he was long. He didn't say he was tall. He said he was long because he saw him laying on a cart.
Mm-hmm.
He said the next thing that happened, he said it was hard to explain. He said, I was just sucked up like a giant vacuum cleaner up into this light. And he said, I found myself abruptly lifted up by this incredible force, and I heard the words, Danny died, and you are going to live. He said, I saw three luminous beings. He said, one of them I recognized as my aunt because she looked younger than she should have, but she was wearing a scarf. He said, next to her was Danny. And he said he looked wonderful. And he said, and next to him was another being. He said, a luminous, light-filled being. He said, I just don't know who he was, but he said he looked as if I'd known him all my life. And he said, I felt such love, such compassion. He said, such joy. He said, there aren't words for it. But he said, I'm different now. I know something. I know who I am. And I know, will know forever that I was in a sacred place. And he said, I was just overwhelmed. He said, I have this man's kidney and pancreas. He said, I'm a part of his life, and he's a part of mine. He said, I am more blessed than I know. Now, the most amazing thing about this story was that this was before the days of HIPAA, the Health Information Patient Privacy Act, and when his wife had that initial conversation with him, right when he was in the post-anesthesia recovery room, and he immediately fell back to sleep, she went back out and said to her sister, I just had the strangest experience. And, you know, he said, my donor's name is Danny, and nobody ever tells the recipient right. The name of the donor. And later, her sister, who'd been sitting there, said, I've got to tell you. There was a board there of everybody who was in critical condition, and one of the names on there was Danny, and then she gave the last name. And later on, Kim took a chance. There was an extraordinary set of coincidences. She was able to contact the mother here in the Twin Cities. The mother and her spoke. The mother actually met Mike, the man who received the pancreas and kidney, and she said, you know, she brought a picture, a photo along of her son, Danny. When she showed it to Mike, Mike said, oh, that's him. He said, that's the man I saw. So, you know, there's more in this universe than we can imagine. But those two stories, at least for me, really filled me with a sense of awe.